Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, right now, we're giving away $20 to Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. It's not just necessarily one of the best barbecue places in town. It's one of the best restaurants in town. Dave, the owner, he had a past life, and everything on that menu is just so unbelievably good, and it's more than just barbecue. And I know the word barbecue is in the name, but you would go there just for the desserts. That's how good it is. Their sides are amazing. Of course, you got to have great sides to go with barbecue. Highly recommend you go there. They have two great locations in the Denver metro area. One is in Centennial off of Arapahoe Road, and the other one is in North Denver. Give us a call. $20 in your pocket, 303-831-1340. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Okay, there have been more than a few rumors out there that Urban Meyer isn't happy coaching the Jacksonville Jaguars, although I think we have known that for a while, and some have already linked Meyer to the head coaching job at USC, although Meyer was asked about that today. He said, I'm not interested in the job at USC. Jason LaConfora from CBS Sports writes, there have been repeated issues with other coaches on staff, with Meyer's temper and lack of familiarity with the ebbs and flows of the NFL calendar, rubbing the Jacksonville Jaguars staff and players the wrong way. Meyer's fiery remarks to players and coaches after games have already struck many as bizarre. He has everyone looking over their shoulders already, said one source with direct knowledge of the situation. Meyer becomes unhinged way too easily, and he doesn't know how to handle losing, even in the preseason. Another source said, you can't freak out about preseason games and belittle your coaches on a staff you handpicked. Every time things don't go your way, it's not going to work here. Why don't you just react to that first?
He's a college coach who is not used to the limitations of the NFL, and he's not handling it well. Think about the Urban Meyer progression here. How back in February, he hires a strength coach from the University of Iowa who turns out has made some racist statements and first defends him and then ultimately backtracks and lets him go under pressure from the media, pressure from the public, pressure from players. Everything we've seen with Urban Meyer so far is that he is having trouble accepting the limitations of the NFL from a coaching perspective, that you can't lord over the local media the way a college coach lords over the local media in a big-time college market, that unlike at Ohio State, where he could literally count on getting more top 100 recruits in Columbus than the rest of the Big Ten combined, you're not going to have that kind of talent disparity. You have limitations on practices and things like that in terms of putting on the pads. They're set by the NFLPA. He is coaching like somebody who didn't, even though he says, yeah, I researched it, I dove into it. I don't think he dove into it to the degree that he really knew what he was getting into.
I'll put it another way. When you think of Alabama football, first thing that comes to your mind, first person that comes to your mind, Alabama football.
Bear Bryant.
Okay. When you think of Ohio State football, first thing that comes to your mind.
Woody Hayes.
First thing that comes to your mind, Florida State football.
Bobby Bowden.
Okay. You notice a pattern there?
They're all coaches.
They're all coaches.
Because the rosters turn over so quickly. You turn when you think everything of the, turns over five after 5 years. So think about like North Carolina basketball. Michael Jordan is an alum.
Think of Dean Smith first.
Exactly.
When you think of the, okay, Denver Broncos, who do you think of?
John Elway.
Indianapolis Colts.
Peyton Manning.
Oakland Raiders. I can go on and on.
Oakland Raiders, you think of the owner. Al Davis.
Fine. You never think of the coach with that. Are the Broncos facing the Jags just at the perfect time where now this USC story is coming out and Jason LaConfora is writing this and his coaches are all upset with him and his players are kind of tuning him out.
And he's having to answer questions today about whether he's going to stick around. Think about it. Has a head coach in the history of the NFL ever been asked one game into his tenure about another job? Well, he had to answer questions today about USC. And his response at his press conference, and by the way, even though he did not meet with Denver area media, he did on a conference call, he did meet with the media in Jacksonville. He said, quote, "No chance," unquote, that he would take the SC job that opened up. Quote, "I'm here and committed to try and build an organization." And while you want to take that at face value, those of us who are more cynical and skeptical also recall Nick Saban on December 21st of 2006 saying, quote, "I guess I have to say it, I'm not going to be the Alabama coach," unquote. That being said, do I think Urban Meyer will coach it? Will be the coach at SC? Probably not.
No, I think Luke Fickle might be the guy.
Yeah.
Because he has ties to Cincinnati, ties to Ohio State, but more importantly, ties to Cincinnati. And who was the AD at Cincinnati when Luke Fickle fired? Oh, yeah.
He hired Mike Bone, right? Or he hired Luke Fickle.
He hired Luke Fickle. And I heard James Franklin is a name that's out
there. And Luke Fickle is somebody who even has been kicking around some NFL lists as well for teams looking at coaches.
He's not a big name. I mean, let's face it, he's at Cincinnati. It's not. Listen.
The interesting thing with Fickle, though, is if he's on NFL radars, he's sitting there with Desmond Ridder, a potential first-round quarterback on the roster. And what if he looks? He could go to SC, and that would make sense. But what if he looks at a potential NFL job and says, "Hey, I could have my guy," at quarterback.
See, going back to what you said about Urban Meyer, when you win all the time at Ohio State, and you win basically at Florida all the time, very rarely is the media going to ask you any tough questions, because how can you really ask tough questions after a win and then another win and then another win? Generally speaking, when you're Ohio State and you're losing two games a year as a media member, you probably have two chances to ask tough questions, and usually they're not going to be skewering questions.
He lost 9 games in 7 seasons at Ohio State.
So you're not going to be asked tough questions. So everything is good. So you're getting softballs every single week unless a player does something and gets kicked off the team, gets suspended. You're used to being the king and all of the court jesters, if that's what you want to call the media, are standing at your feet and entertaining you with questions and telling you how wonderful you are. You get to the NFL, nobody wins all the time. Just ask Bill Belichick about last season. Nobody has that type of winning percentage for a long period of time like Urban Meyer had in college.
Right, and Bill Belichick, even before last season, I think his time with the Patriots, I believe his record averaged out to about, 11-5, 12-4, which is exceptional in the NFL. But if you're losing 4 or 5 games in the college ranks per year, you're in a different place entirely. If you lose 4 or 5 games a year at Ohio State, you're negotiating your severance package.
If that happens over more than a few years,
right? Yeah, Bill Belichick, but it's a different game. I mean, it's a different game, different mindset, different level, different expectations, and so far, Urban Meyer just doesn't look like he's handling it very well.
He was never questioned when he was at Ohio State or Florida, probably. He did what he wanted to, but because he was winning, he could do anything he wanted to, kind of like a Terrell Owens as a teammate. You could do whatever you want to as long as you're playing well. You could do whatever you want to when you're winning. But when you're not winning, well, and things don't look good, you will be questioned. Maybe the media is cynical, but at the end of the day, you will be questioned.
Now, here's one thing. You mentioned he was at Florida, right? I wonder if on some level he thought, well, if I go coach in Jacksonville, it's pretty much the same market because Jacksonville and Gainesville are about 80 miles apart.
Right.
I wonder if he thought that by going there, it could be the same kind of environment that he had in Gainesville.
No.
But even in basically the most rinky-dink NFL market, more so than, because Green Bay is the state of Wisconsin. So Green Bay is Milwaukee, basically. Basically, the smallest, most insignificant NFL market is Jacksonville. And maybe he thought that it would be like it was just down the road in Gainesville, but it's not. It's a pro team with pro questions and pro scrutiny, and he's struggling with
it. I don't think Urban Meyer took the job hoping to get more favorable media attention. The only reason he took the job in Jacksonville was one reason and one reason only, and the key number is one, the number one pick. If Jacksonville does not have the number one overall pick in that draft,
or he could name his quarterback,
Urban Meyer is still an analyst on television. Period. There's no way he's going to Jacksonville. He thought that by getting Trevor Lawrence, he could start his NFL car with at least a half a tank of gas.
I mean, to his credit, he didn't get everything wrong. His staff, particularly the offensive staff, is good. I mean, he has two quarterback tutors there, Daryl Bevel, who worked with Russell Wilson for a long time, mm-hmm. and Brian Schottenheimer, who's been around the block a few times. So the two most important people working with Trevor Lawrence are people who are probably going to get him up to speed and ensure that he succeeds. But there's one misstep after another elsewhere.
I hope I don't put my foot in my mouth by saying this. Before the season started, I honestly thought the Houston Texans were the worst team in football.
Oh, yes.
They are just flat out rotten. Oh, well, as an organization, they are.
And even the roster, it's old.
It's not a good roster.
It's not a good roster. It's old.
It's not a good roster. And Jacksonville got blown out. What is going to look like for them for the rest of the season?
I'll tell you what. That game, you had one team that looked like it was prepared, and it started from the top. Houston may be a bad organization, but David Culley,
yeah.
as a head coach,
yeah.
appears to know what he's doing
in a way
that Urban Meyer does not.
Looked like he had never coached a football game in his life. Penalties, sloppy play, they looked downright awful. They got outclassed by a terrible organization, and that's quite a statement.
Yeah, Houston's a bad team, no doubt, but they're going to win four or five games just because they're prepared, because it starts with their head coach.
Right. Coming up after the break, NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal did his quarterback rankings after week one, his power rankings. Well, he really didn't like Teddy Bridgewater to start the season. Well, he did. His producers didn't. What does that mean? Where's Bridgewater now? Talk about that next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, go to RMFP.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about my good buddy Eric Cook at Farmers Insurance. I've been working with Eric for well over 5 years. Trust is a big thing with me, and I love working with Eric. So whether it is commercial, auto, home, or life, I'm telling you, he is the best. And communication is a huge thing for me. So I have called him, you know, on days off. He gets right back to me. He's quick to return phone calls. He's quick to return emails as well. His insurance company, Cook Insurance, over 70 years of experience, and they know the right questions to ask you to make sure you get the right policy. I think the world of Eric Cook and his staff at Cook Insurance. I highly recommend you work with them like I do. Give them a call today, 303-790-8089, 303-790-8089. Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Eric Cook at Farmers Insurance, the Cook Insurance Group, focused on people, not policies. Call today at 303-790-8089. That's 303-790-8089.
NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal did his quarterback rankings after week one last week. He had Teddy Bridgewater number 28, but he did have a caveat to that, saying he liked Teddy Bridgewater a lot, but ranked him that low because he was getting a lot of pressure from his producers to keep him where he was, because his producers clearly did not believe in Teddy Bridgewater like Rosenthal did. This week, Rosenthal puts Bridgewater at 20, and this is what he wrote. That Broncos debut even went better than the official driver of the Teddy bandwagon could have expected. Yes, as Greg Rosenthal, I am the driver. I am the gas. I am the windshield wipers shaking off doubters like Teddy shaking off the Giants' formidable blitzes and pressures. If he plays well all season, you cannot fathom how annoying I will be.
I think he's pretty annoying right now based on that paragraph.
That was awesome, because he was told you have to put him at 28, essentially.
Yeah.
That was great.
I don't.
Why didn't you like that?
I don't blame him for reacting that way. I think maybe it just kind of sounded differently than it came across. Hearing it rather than reading it, it sounded differently. But
I loved it.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. Here's the thing. When you look at his list, though, it's really not a true quarterback rankings list. It's not really a power rankings list. What it is this. You're moving some guys around a little bit here and there. Mm-hmm. Do I believe Teddy Bridgewater is better than Aaron Rodgers? No. But Aaron Rodgers was nothing short of rotten in his first game. And by the way, remember that conversation we had where I said, sometimes your appearance kind of describes how you're feeling at the time?
Yeah. You Aaron Rodgers with the unkempt beard, is that what you're saying?
You see him today?
No.
Fully shaved.
Oh, okay.
He looks all clean cut now. He looked like he had given up on life.
Was he wearing sweatpants?
I have no idea. I just saw his face.
Because that's the thing. Like, as George Costanza would say, I'm miserable, so I might as well be comfortable.
Well, or as I say about sweatpants, once you start wearing sweatpants full time, you have completely... Once you start wearing pants with drawstrings,
yeah,
consistently, you have given up. Completely. You have given up on your weight, for sure, if that's what you choose to do. Because it doesn't matter how much you eat, you'll never be uncomfortable. Sometimes it's good to wear pants that are too tight, because then it motivates you.
Yes.
Reminds you and motivates you with that. Aaron Rodgers is number three. Is he the third best quarterback in the league right now? Probably. After week one, hell no.
Right.
And that's hell no. So it's not really a power ranking. Who are you kidding here?
It's a if you did it strictly based on one result, then Teddy would have been, in QBR, he was number one. In passer rating, he was top 10. So,
put Lamar Jackson ahead of Teddy Bridgewater? I'm not after week one.
No.
Is Lamar Jackson better? Yeah, historically. Yeah. No question.
And I think that's where body of work comes into play. Teddy, look, if Bridgewater has more games like that, and let's say he ends up settling with a QBR in the mid-70s and a passer rating of about 99 to 100, which is actually where he was in New Orleans when he started those games a couple of years ago. If he does that, then that makes him a mid-tier quarterback, which you may say, oh, well, you're not building around that. It's not long-term. With other elements to this team, you can win with a mid-tier quarterback. You could, if Teddy Bridgewater is QB 16, let's say that's where he settles this year. With what you expect from the rest of the team, if Bridgewater is QB 16, right in the middle of the starters, how many games the Broncos win? 11? 12? They're in contention.
By the way, how is Bridgewater going to look against this Jags defense that the Texans chewed up?
Yeah, and how's the running game going to look as well?
The Texans' running game was outstanding.
The Broncos have an opportunity here to basically grind down the Jaguars. Obviously, it's going to be an issue playing the heat and humidity of Northeast Florida in mid to late September. But you know what? the Broncos are actually in position to be the ones that leave the Jaguars, who have trained in that weather, to leave them gassed.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. You and I were at the same game, and if there's one game that I remember vividly where a Broncos team literally wilted under the heat, was that opener in Miami.
Yes.
I know I was there. I believe you were there too. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
First game of the Nick Saban era.
I don't understand how a team that plays at altitude, that trains in altitude, can wilt under the pressure of the heat.
It's a different kind of heat. I mean, it's, you know, you can train it at altitude, and that certainly helps kind of your lung capacity.
Yep.
But it's a discomfort thing when you go down to Florida for a 1 o'clock game in September.
It's a discomfort thing when you can't breathe and you need oxygen playing at altitude.
But it's a different, but it's a different kind of thing. It's literally saying, I can't, like, I'll say this has happened to me when I covered training camp in Carolina. Literally, I can't see because I'm sweating so much and I've got sunscreen on and the sweat is going into my eyes and I'm blind right now. And I need a towel right this second. It's little things like that that in terms of the discomfort. And then you put a helmet for a player. You put a helmet on in that heat, and you're in that heat and humidity, and you're not used to it.
Yep.
And now some guys, they grew up with it. Teddy Bridgewater's from Miami.
Right.
Teddy's going to be fine. Cortland Sutton's from Texas. Okay,
he'll be fine.
That dude's gonna be fine, but Melvin Gordon, for example, grew up in Wisconsin, played out in San Diego and L.A., and now he's been in.
He'll
Denver.
Be fine. He's played in the heat before.
I know, but I'm saying that he doesn't have as much experience with it as some other guys do. If you grew up in it, you're not gonna think anything of it, but you do have to readjust a little bit, and that's why I'll tell you something I said this morning. If you're the Broncos, don't be afraid to rotate your guys, to be liberal in how you rotate your edge rushers. You should have Bradley Chubb back. Great. Still give Malik Reed and Jonathan Cooper some run. Keep your legs fresh.
Well, you know what? They're traveling on Friday, which I think is smart. Do a walkthrough with helmets on Saturday.
Okay. That's smart, as long as they make sure they don't go out in the community because Jacksonville's a COVID hotspot.
They'll be fine on the field by themselves. Coming up after the break, KJ Hamler met the media today and said something that I think all the media said, wow, that's awesome. And then he said something about Teddy Bridgewater, and all the media said, wow, that's even more awesome. What did he say? That's next.
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda. Get to Silter Har in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silter Har Mazda, or find them at sthmazda.com.
Before we get into this KJ Hamler stuff, you posted something on Twitter today at practice that is going viral, needless to say. It was Cortland Sutton running a drill. It looked like he was basically doing, a DUI walk, for lack of a better phrase, but running it, meaning trying to stay in one straight line.
Go in a straight line and take and hit specific spots and then quickly turn and then continue to hit those spots. Part of it is it's an agility test. It's also designed to where you can maybe to help you perhaps deceive the defensive back who's in coverage against you. Get him to go in a direction that he doesn't want to go.
Okay, with that, how did he look compared to the other wide receivers? Knowing he is still nursing that injury.
Slower and not as smooth as the others. And again, he's 12 months removed from an ACL and typical injury. And typically, you're not all the way back in that first season after you have the ACL. It's another year before you are fully 100% back to where you trust it. The thing that Cortland, and he's talked a bit about this, that it's getting to the point where you don't think about the knee and the ACL when you make your cuts.
Let me ask
you something. He looks like he's still thinking about it.
When was Cortland hurt again? I forgot.
Last September.
So pretty much this time last year.
Yes.
Okay. Saquon Barkley hurt right about this time last year, right? Jamal Murray.
I know where you're going
and
with this.
And we all think, oh, yeah, he's been shooting hoops, and he's going to be back, and he's going to be back for the stretch run for the Nuggets.
Back, yes, 100% no.
Right. So when I see people talking about the Nuggets, I'm thinking, what in the world are you expecting out of Jamal Murray? Now, in all fairness, Jamal Murray's not taking a pounding. But then again, wide receivers don't necessarily take a pounding either. However,
there's a lot of starting and stopping what Jamal Murray has to do, too.
Correct.
And that's high stress on the ligament.
Right. And there's a lot of stress on wide receivers running fast. I mean, put it this way. Do you remember those Jerry Jeudy videos of him doing routes? Okay. Where he is undressing anybody who is trying to cover him? Try and do that with a recovering from a torn ACL. Now, in all fairness, let's be honest here. Jamal Murray isn't running routes like that on a basketball floor, right?
Right.
But literally, you have seen it just like all of our listeners and our viewers have. Picture Jerry Jeudy putting that stuff on Twitter and now trying to do that 8 months, 12 months after ACL surgery. And how confident would you be?
I wouldn't be confident. I'd still be thinking about it.
But I tend to
overthink things.
No. You?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to something else. I don't want you to think too much about this. So Hamler met the media today. We know that he dropped that touchdown pass in the end zone. Day off is on Monday for the players and said, well, I came in and I caught over 100 over-the-shoulder passes that mimicked the one that he dropped. You want to hear that stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, I remember hearing stuff about lots of athletes who put in the extra time, right? Tim Tebow would put in the extra time. Jamal Murray would put in the extra time. After a playoff loss, he went upstairs and shot for hours, right? But at least whether you get results or not, you want to hear that about the guys that you're cheering for.
Right. They're putting the work in. Now, the question is, can he become a guy who improves his drop rate? I don't think he's going to improve to be a guy like Tim Patrick, who went from having a high drop rate back in 2018 to having no drops at all in 2020. I don't think Keisha Hamler gets there. But does he improve from a player who basically is dropping one of every six passes that is on target to one of every 10, one of every 12? If he gets there, he makes himself a very viable player. And I like seeing him react to that. I like the fact that he's listening to people around him. The fact that he took time on Monday to have extra work and have somebody throw him the ball, not just a jugs machine, somebody throw him the ball for 100 times after practice. The guy who did the exact same work after practice a couple of years ago and then last year to get better was Tim Patrick, and look what it did for him. It made him one of the most reliable receivers in football. So I love the fact that KJ Hamler is looking at the experience of one of his veteran teammates and is saying, he did that. Look what it did for him. I'm going to try the same thing.
I don't know if it crossed your mind because it didn't cross my mind, but it has just crossed my mind right now. Right now, it just crossed my mind. And I don't know why I didn't think about this when it happened. Hours after the game, days after the game, so on and so forth. What was KJ Hamler's biggest problem last year? And biggest problem in college?
Drop passes. And hamstring issues.
Okay. when he dropped that pass, did you immediately flash back to, oh man, here we go again?
Yes.
See, I didn't. Until just now, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, that's right. He's the guy with the drop issues.
Yeah. Because, and you know what kind of made it go under the radar last year? Was Jerry Judy's drop issues.
Yeah, right.
But KJ Hamler, right. But KJ Hamler had a worse drop rate than Jerry Judy did.
He did, in terms of percentages, yes.
Right. And with Jerry Judy, it didn't fit in with his body of work at Alabama.
Right.
And that's why he thought, okay, this isn't who he is. He'll get it fixed. And he appears to have fixed that. KJ Hamler, on the other hand, one of the knocks on him besides the hamstring issues coming out of Penn State was the drop rate. Now you said, okay, he's so explosive that he's going to have some huge plays, some of which is involve him getting downfield and catching a deep ball, some of which are going to be him turning a short to intermediate route into an explosive play. So because of that, and because you can't coach the speed, you accept that you're going to live with some drops over right. time, and that's okay. And that's why I don't expect KJ Hamler to be somebody who, like Tim Patrick, doesn't have a drop in a year. But if you can get it better, if you can turn a drop one every six passes to one every 10 or 11, then you've created a guy who's sufficiently reliable and is going to be a plus player for you.
Danny, what do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
A star baseball player is treating 10,000 of his fans to a free game in one of their upcoming series. We'll tell you which lucky fan base that is, and also, where is the 2023 All-Star Game going to be held for the MLB? That's next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to masterpieceroofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, Christian Yelich wanted to show Brewers fans his appreciation, so he bought 10,000 tickets to next week's series versus the St. Louis Cardinals. To give away to fans for free, fans can go on his website and apply for those tickets and get up to four at a time. So you can get them for the whole family or a group of friends, if you're a family of four, that is. which Denver
athlete? Or you're
athlete,
schizophrenic and you have three other personalities.
That could be too. Okay. If you need the space for them. Which Denver athlete could you see doing something like this to give Denver fans a little bit of a freebie?
Lots of them. Mm. Lots and lots.
I could see Von Miller doing that.
All day. Teddy Bridgewater would do this. Yeah. Lots and lots of guys. And you know, if you say one, you feel like you're leaving somebody out. Lots of guys would do this.
Yeah.
They really would.
This is, I could see an entire team banding together, if not one guy. Like everyone pitching in a few bucks here, a few bucks there.
Justin Simmons would do this all day. Yeah. Right? Derek Wolfe, when he was here, he would do it. Shelby Harris would do this.
And that's not just the Broncos. You can go through any team. Almost the Nuggets guys would do this.
Right.
Easily.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I mean, Jokic would definitely do it.
Right. Like I said, I'm not trying to leave anybody out because there's so many guys that would. That's why I'm not like rattling off this guy and that guy. Right. But a lot of guys would.
Because you don't want to leave. You want to be fair.
Would you do that?
I had the kind of money that those athletes had, absolutely.
I would do it even if I didn't have the money.
Well, kind of hard economically.
I put my family in jeopardy in order to help other families.
Oh, gosh.
NFL tickets are kind of expensive, too. I feel like it's definitely easier for a baseball player to do something
like that. No question. Especially a guy who's making the money that Yelich makes.
Absolutely. Just in case you missed it, Seattle will host the MLB All-Star Game in 2023, according to Jeff Passan. The All-Star Game will be in L.A. at Dodger Stadium next year. So Seattle last hosted in 2001. It's a lot of people's one of their favorite ballparks in the MLB. But this will be 3 years in a row that the All-Star Game has been in a Western U.S. state. Any surprise there that they haven't shown a little bit more love to the East Coast, or it'll all even out in the end?
You had four of the previous five that were in the Eastern time zone, and the exception of that was San Diego. And then before that, Minnesota, New York, Kansas City. I think it's nothing that I think the East Coast has gotten plenty of love. I think it's fine. And this was going. This year it was supposed to be on the East Coast in Atlanta,
right?
And then had the voting rights stuff and all that, and they had the All-Star Game pulled. And you imagine it probably won't go back to Atlanta for a long time.
Right. Very rarely do you say West Coast bias. Very rarely, right?
Maybe only in the film business.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless it's a Spike Lee movie, and it's always going to be filmed in one of the five boroughs.
Yeah. Brooklyn usually, right?
Yep.
Typically.
And I believe that in 2026, the MLB All-Star Game is already set to be in Philly. So that'll be back in the East for that.
Right.
Just in case you missed it, Saquon Barkley, you guys mentioned him last segment. He's listed as questionable for tomorrow night's Thursday night game versus the Washington football team. If Barkley doesn't play tomorrow night, does his absence impact the result of the game in your mind?
I mean, it has a huge impact just on what the Giants want to do, even though he played just under 50% of the snaps on Sunday. I believe he touched the ball on 11 of 28 snaps, which is pretty healthy for a running back. Nearly 50% of the snaps getting the ball in his hands. So if he's not out there, I think it does affect what the Giants are trying to do.
Sure. Yeah.
The result, though, does it affect the result?
Yes.
Yeah, tremendously.
100%.
The final, whoever wins or whoever loses, regardless of the score, regardless of any of that, if Saquon is in...
The Giants have a better chance to win if Saquon is in playing well. Yeah.
I mean, Washington's defense is terrific.
But
I'd rather have Daniel Jones than whoever's playing quarterback for Washington.
And the other
thing
is, how do you defuse a pass rush? Well, you run the ball well,
right,
and you run screens. And what does Saquon Barkley do really well in particular? Screen passes. So I think he definitely has an impact on the outcome of the game.
Just in case you missed it, 2011 NL MVP and six-time All-Star Ryan Braun, another Brewer, announced his retirement on Tuesday. He hasn't played at all this season, but he does lead the Brewers franchise in career home runs. And the 37-year-old played all 14 of his MLB seasons in Milwaukee. What is Ryan Braun's legacy in baseball?
Steroids. Period. End of story. PEDs. That's all he will be remembered for. From me.
And the thing is, like, he played his entire career with Milwaukee, and a large part of the reason why he played his entire career with Milwaukee is that even when the team was struggling, they couldn't trade him. He was radioactive. They were stuck with him, and they were stuck with his contract. You know, the thing is, he was actually reasonably productive for most of the last several years before he retired. As recently as 2019, for example, 22 homers, an OPS of .849. He was playing reasonably well. He wasn't ever an anvil on their lineup, but in terms of reputation, he was radioactive.
Right.
And basically in Milwaukee, he wasn't very well thought of, but they knew, okay, we're stuck with this contract. We're just going to keep putting him out there. But as much as he accomplished Milwaukee, he was an MVP. He was a six-time All-Star. I don't think they're going to retire his jersey in Milwaukee because of PEDs.
I'm going to ask you to try and understand this, because it comes from my perspective that, with all due respect, you can't understand Danny, you can't understand, and Alex, you can't understand. And it's from the perspective of being Jewish. Ryan Braun is Jewish.
Yes.
And when Jewish people do dumb things and also feed stereotypes, that is not only embarrassing to me, That is infuriating to me. What's the stereotype about Jewish people? Money. Bernie Madoff, Jewish. Thanks, Bernie. Thanks for feeding that stereotype. We don't get enough of it historically, but you had to feed it by stealing millions, if not billions, of dollars from people in a Ponzi scheme. Ivan Boesky, thanks, pal. Really appreciate you feeding the stereotype. Ryan Braun, we have Sandy Koufax and Hank Greenberg. So it's not that bad. I suppose that he's Jewish and that, you know, he did steroids. But come on, there aren't a lot of really good Jewish baseball players or Jewish athletes. It's a pretty thin list. You really had to go there. You were terrific before steroids. You really had to do that to taint your legacy. Can't we just have a couple of good Jewish athletes? You really have to be remembered for PEDs. Thanks.
Just think of the fact, though, that the Jewish faith brought us also Kevin Euclid, the Greek god of walks, as he was referred to. There you go. That's a positive. In addition to the guys you mentioned.
I never thought of, though, for as great as Kevin Euclid was, I'm going to hang my hat on Sandy Koufax.
That's fine. Exactly. You mentioned Sandy Koufax. I was mentioning a guy that you didn't mention.
Oh, well, Euclid is not, I'm sorry, he's not in the same sense.
No, he's not in the same sense.
As Greenberg and Koufax.
But at least you've had, but at least a really good Jewish player of the last, say, 15 years. It's not just about Ryan Braun.
John Green was better than both of them.
Ian Kinsler was a good player.
Right, and we need to wrap it up. Okay, with that was Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it. It's been a lot of hail recently, so what are you going to do? My suggestion, go with Masterpiece Roofing. They're going to get your insurance company to pay for your roof. That's what they do, not to mention they do amazing work as well. Over 12 years of experience. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Alex and Danny, great job today. Same with you, Mace. We got through the hump day. Tomorrow is Thursday. Talk at you tomorrow. Make it the best possible night you can. Top is off.